Gentlemen, welcome to Fight Club.
ThirdMoto.com, doing a little race review for the Supercross series, and Vegas.
This will be fun.
I don't think it's going to stay in Vegas, because whatever comes down next Saturday night, or whenever you're listening to the show, if it has already occurred, you'll know what's happening in Vegas for the Supercross.
And this time, it's live on Speed Channel.
Yep.
May 6th. I'm going to be watching it. I gotta see it live. I don't want to take any chances on somebody watching it and then telling me later. I want to see this live. I want to see it unfold right in front of my face.
It's gonna, and hopefully it'd be really cool if it comes down to the last lap. Oh, huh? Oh, would that be cool?
Man.
What did they say? Not since Jeff Ward 21 years ago did it come down to this, where they were tied going into their last race.
Nice. And yeah. It couldn't have come, you know, with three better guys. Chad Reed, James Stewart, and, you know.
Green, yellow,
goat,
and
the
blue.
Goat, the GOAT. Yeah, there it is. You know, yeah. And I can't wait to see this. I'm looking so forward to it. You know, I got to get my munchies to the side and figure out what I'm going to do. You know, I'm just going to be just like taking this all in. That was a great race. You saw the race. I know you had some other things to do, but you got a chance to see a little bit of the race. That mud race kind of really just threw it up in the air for everybody. That was kind of good. I kind of enjoyed it. I didn't think I would like the mud. I'm like, you know, man, it's going to be
muddy. I wish it wouldn't have been mud, but you know what? Those guys have got an elevated game.
They
all podiumed. No matter what happened to them, they podiumed. And you know what? As difficult as this year was, or as competitive, I should say, it was, it exposed every one of their weaknesses and strengths.
Yeah.
Every one of them. It showed. And you know what? I think they really, really all matured as public athletes this year.
But you know what? We might not be able to see this after this year with Chad Reed not having a deal after the outdoor. Well, he'll be racing for somebody. He'll be racing for himself. But I hope nothing changes up. I hope when we go into the outdoor, all these guys get fresh again and get hungry again and realize that, you know what, this was a battle we had last year in the Supercross. So, you know, let's get this outdoor thing going and really battle it and see, you know, see what can happen next year. I hope nobody's thinking about retiring.
Well, I was just going to say that, too. I would not be surprised if Ricky Carmichael says, you know, I've done it all. I've seen it all. I've got all the records. It's going to be really hard for anybody to match my records, and I've got to move on. I'm 26, 27
well,
years old.
Well, didn't McGrath, couldn't we have said that about him at one time? Couldn't we have said that about Marty Smith at one time? Who's going to beat these guys?
McGrath, and then Carmichael come on, and then Lake
Marty
Wood
Smith, and then
him.
Hannah came out.
Wood to him, and then you know that's what Stewart's going to do to Carmichael, if not this year, but close to it, if not the year after.
I still think Ricky can win races next year. I still think he can be just as competitive or a little bit better. I mean, I don't see him backing down.
I don't see him. I don't see him taking 10% more chances.
You know what? When you don't ride hard, that's when you get hurt.
Well, that's true.
You know,
but
so
when somebody can pass you,
I think it'll just be. But you know what? With Stewart up there, smart. I think those are going to be three smart riders. You know, I think they're after going through this, they're gonna lay back and wait for each other's weaknesses. Look at the tracks. You know, I can do something he can't do here.
They're gonna take it to the ninth level now. They're getting way more advanced with training, with testing. They call it testing. We call it practice. Yeah. We go out practice. We just ride.
They call it going out to ride.
They test. You know, they'll do 20 suspensions. They'll do motors. They'll do gearing, wheels, tires. They'll study their riding. They'll study everybody else's riding.
They're going to study each other's.
Now
who's
they're, now they're working more on split and incremental time testing, so they know where the other riders are faster or slower, and work on their things that way. And trainers and conditioning and staying healthy and all that stuff. But you know what I say? Savor the moment.
And you know what?
Savor. You don't know what tomorrow's
going to
bring.
Exactly. And I think there's another race down there too with Tedesco and Nick Way. You know, Tedesco at 276, Nick Way at 268. I mean, you know, Tedesco has had to come through a semi to get into the main, and you know, so he hasn't made the main every time exactly right from his first semi. So that could be that means something to Nick Way if he could get past another factory guy. And wouldn't that be something, having a privateer finishing, you know, fourth behind three big top factory guys on a privateer bike? And if this guy doesn't have a factory ride next year, I don't know what to say.
He's a cool guy, too.
Yeah, he is. Nice
he's
guy.
A cool guy. And he struggled on a factory Suzuki thing, and then they parted their ways, and he's coming back around. I mean, look, there's a group, Travis Preston, Nick Way, Michael Byrne, Ivan Tedesco. That group of racers is the next group. Now, I don't know if somebody's going to come out of the amateur ranks and drive past them. And
Millsaps goes in there?
Thank you. That could be Davey Millsaps in there. We'll see. It. Now, is he going to race? Oh, he's
going to race.
He's got to race the lights, right, because it's east, west, and blah, blah, blah.
You know what? Yeah. That, speaking of lights, that's going to be
good. Now, did he race at?
No, he didn't.
Okay.
He had tweaked ankle.
From the week before.
That's going to be good, too. I mean, this year's outdoor, simply because of the fact that all the east and west guys are getting together, that's going to be like watching the supercross guys all get together for the outdoor. I mean,
yeah.
I think the lights class
strong outdoors. Yeah, that'll be good.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of people see Villopoto up there. Who we got over, and him coming on like that. Josh Grant. Brock Helper's going to be back. I mean, the lights class, you know, don't sell this lights class short.
There's going to be some. He missed the whole lights series,
but he's in a good outdoor guy. So yeah, look forward to the outdoor for the lights. And I don't like calling it the lights when it goes to the outdoor. I just like calling it the 250s.
Yeah, because it's a pro class.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be just the three guys battling up in the outdoor class, maybe a fourth guy, but I think down to 10th in the 250s,
yeah,
you can be battling. I mean,
well, yeah, those three guys have proven that they can come back from anything and beat everybody else but the other two.
Yeah, you know, and getting them all together all at once without injuries is going to be something else. That's going to be quite a gate next year.
And you know, I got to give a couple people that just started the Supercross thing, Brock Sellers and Josh DeMuth, props on the Buku team too, because
yeah, we'll get to them. But they got a good team. Yeah, okay. And those guys have been around a while, and you know what? These guys are finally getting some due. And when we talk about the reality, well, you know, we'll get back to those guys. What about the big news? The other big news this week, Larry Brooks.
Yeah, and you know, Larry Brooks, as some people may or may not know, was the team manager, captain of the KTM motocross and supercross team here in the United States. Quite a bit of light success. We're getting ready to make another move back into the 250 class and got some key riders on their team. And Larry Brooks got an awful lot of respect within the industry and within the teams and stuff like that, and announced that he's stepping away from the KTM team. And nobody's really said, other than speculate and rumor, what he's going to do.
Well, go ahead. But what did we read? I know everybody else read it.
Yeah, well, there's some rumors, but is it because of management overseas at KTM and his decision? Or is it because he had some other opportunities? We don't know that yet. Now, he says he doesn't have anything lined up yet.
He hasn't had anything lined up after the Supercross season, because Chad doesn't have anything lined up after the outdoor season.
Well, that's
so
purely speculation at this time.
But we can read it. If it's out there, we can read it. I mean, he did say that, you know, there's a rumor that he might be heading up the team of Chad Reed and Nathan Ramsey, the satellite team. And Chad Reed has talked about that in the past, getting his own team started. I mean, he just talked about it a week ago.
People posted about that too, and they're like, that's a big mistake.
I agree.
All he needs to do is have his mind cluttered with that crap.
You know what I want to talk about? Because you know what this means? This means if he does a satellite deal, he's just going to ride Supercross. I think.
Yeah.
So.
Because I think he hates the outdoors, because he gets gapped out too far and then no one's watching. I said that. But you know, I got to personally congratulate him last year after he won that one outdoor
moto.
I seen him that same week at the Yamaha dealer meeting, and I said, congratulations on your moto win. And it was like maybe I shit on my hand and shook his hand because you know and I know and he knows that it wasn't the kind of win he wanted, you know, to take pride in the win. You pass the other guy and you cross
the finish line. Let Brock by.
Right, right. Well, someone fell down and he got the win, you know, and that's where he's gotten to where he's at in Supercross too, because he hasn't passed those guys for leading, taking the win. They've fallen down and he's gotten the win.
I fall down.
And, you know, don't...
It's hard to live with,
even at that level. Yeah, you know, there's nothing I would do more than be that successful and make that kind of money and be that kind of hero. But you know what? If you're always satisfied with second or third, that's all you will ever be.
So
it makes it so aggravating to be that. You know, it's tough.
Yeah, well, you know, somebody's got to break that third. I know. When I was riding myself in B class, I got to a point where I was third to these guys and. I was like always finishing third every weekend. I'm like, but those two guys were out and they were gone past me. You know what? I was happy with third. Yeah, I wasn't getting paid, I was happy with third. But I don't see how you can get paid $2 million and be happy with third. But you know what else can he do? You know?
Yeah, that's a hard call. I don't know. You know
what else can he do?
That's like you earlier in the show saying that Ricky Carmichael will pick it up a little more and beat James Stewart a few times. I don't know. I'm really behind Ricky Carmichael's work ethic and all that. But, you know, he's only going to hang it out so far. He knows how to finish a season off.
Yeah, he does know how to finish a season off.
He doesn't miss a series. He doesn't miss races. So that means you leave a little bit on the table.
Well, you know, if Chad does decide not to ride Supercross after this season, I'm going to be very disappointed in him because I can see what's going on with this. If he wants to get paid more and, you know, he just wants to get paid for a part of the season... I don't think he should do it for the money. And the next thing we wanted to...
Then he should race for free, then, is what you're saying.
He should race for free.
He should just put his bike in his old van, go to the race, sleep on an air mattress, eat a jelly sandwich, and race his own bike.
Yeah.
Like Villeman's going to end up doing.
Yeah. I can't wait to see that. Yeah. Speaking of which, the reality of speed, if anybody saw it, you could just see the relief of this team when
the Frenchman was gone.
Yeah. When the Frenchman was gone. I mean, it looked tense when they were there and you could cut it with a knife. But, you know, since Brock Sellers and Josh DeMuth have gotten there, it's just made it a lot easier to watch. You know, these two guys want to ride.
It made it easier to watch. See, yeah. I haven't seen it yet. But they're already getting decent results
for being arena
cross racers.
Without getting a whole bunch of crap, well, you tell me what to do. You've been doing it for 30 years. Hey, get out there and ride. That's all asking you to do.
Yeah.
And that's all these guys are doing. Brock Sellers, nice guy, been around for a while. You know, couldn't have picked a better guy to get it. You know, to get a ride like this. And Josh DeMuth, you know, going through his things. You know, now he's got a ride. I mean, you know, these guys are hungry guys to ride. This is what when I see the reality of speed. These are the kind of guys I want to see.
And get results.
Get results. And they've done that. They've done that immediately. You know, getting results.
The sad thing is, Saturday night is May 6th, which is Supercross Amped Mobile.
Oh, hold on a second.
Final.
Josh Moose's girlfriend is pretty hot, too, so make sure you watch it.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Does she still wear them big, giant, stupid-looking sunglasses all the time? Get those off her face, would you? All right, let me back the boat up a little bit. The sad thing is, this coming weekend, which you may or may not hear our show before then, which is the final Supercross AMA Amped Mobile race... That's the end of the deal. It's a Supercross deal, isn't it? Are they going to run their bikes outdoors?
They've talked about outdoors already.
Like to see if they get to do that or not, too.
But
who would want to race outdoors? It's hot. The motors are long.
As a matter of fact, you don't
make as much money. You'd be nuts to do that.
Man, don't talk about
it. Come on,
don't go there with me. You know how I feel about the outdoors. Don't go there with
outdoors
me. You know how I feel
dead,
about that.
Man. They
you know what?
Get a sponsor.
The outdoors outdoors with national numbers meant something.
Back in the day.
National numbers, if you were number one, you wore number one. Now, why can't they do that now? Now, I was thinking about this.
It's called marketing, and I understand it now.
They're buying Ricky Carmichael jerseys with number four on it in different colors. Okay, why couldn't they buy a Ricky Carmichael jersey, number one on it, in all different colors? But this was the number one from 1999.
Because, you know,
this is when he wore number one. This is where that year, and this is where that. But you can see
him on the other end of the track and know that's him. There's his number. He's number four.
Wait a minute.
Who's number three? Who's number two?
Mike Brown.
Who's number five?
Number five, I don't know.
Who's number seven? See what I mean? ZZ. You know that.
But you know what? When you
every year, if they change your number, you're like, who is
no,
that?
No. That gives you a chance to find out. That tells you
who the man is on the track.
Who's moving up. Right. Who's moving up. Right, I want to see who's moving up. Yeah, you know.
They're doing it for marketing. Racers, the personality, they make them identifiable. It makes it more marketable.
Oh, they just went and jumped on a NASCAR boat. I still think they can do it. I don't see anything wrong with having a James Stewart number three jersey from 2006. You know, in 2006, he was number three. So you're like, okay, I remember that. And the next year, say he's number two. You know, in 2007, he was number two.
No, you know that.
The guys who follow that know that.
Yeah, but they're looking beyond that. You got to look outside the box.
Son, I don't know who's number four. Just go over there. You know who number four is. We don't got to count every year.
Think outside the box. You're thinking, oh, the real racer guy knows that. But they need to market to a larger audience than that.
Okay, why don't you just say it? They need to make money.
Duh.
Okay, fine.
All right, let's put him in a box van, have him sleep on an air mattress. Remember, we had that conversation.
Yeah, we had that conversation.
That's back when you were a factory man, when there was a box van.
Yeah.
Remember that? And yeah. You used to just sit inside the back of a box van.
Or after the race, you go back there and hang out for parts. Hey, do you want that fender that's bent up right there, got mud on it? Yeah, sure, here. We used to do that all the time in Red Bud. One time in Red Bud, it rained, it snowed, it sleeted, and it hailed all in one day. All in one day.
Yeah, who'd want to be out there for that?
Me.
Yeah.
Don't go there.
Been there, done that. No.
Yeah, it was fun, wasn't it? Sleeping in the back of a van, having a fire, no food sometimes. Yeah. Oh, come on, you miss those days. And you know what? I want to talk about factory bikes. Remember, too, back in the day when you could tell a factory bike from a production bike?
Yeah.
I miss that. That I do miss. I mean, don't you want to see
some trick bikes, man?
Oh, man. Don't you want to see those new parts they might put on every week?
Well, I've got a problem with that. Part of me does. Okay, let's get all the titanium and carbon fiber, magnesium, and one-off stuff, right?
Uh-huh.
Way cool. Let's have electronic fuel-injected bikes.
Stamped out.
Way out frames and everything.
Stamped out forks, you know.
Okay, but here's my problem with that. I think it'd be cool if they almost had a spec bike. You could get your trick suspension on it, and that's it. Like a sealed motor, like IROC is. So the real racers stand up.
That'd be a good idea. I like to see that.
You know, kind of like the kart racing you do with a sealed motor. You can only change the tires or the chassis flex.
Do that for the last race of the year.
But you know, the factory guys would still win. You know why? Because they would relentlessly get the test with factory technicians to get the perfect setup. And they're better riders anyways. That's why they got the factory ride.
Now, speaking of fact, another thing too. Now, what's going
to
happen?
Or maybe if you're top 10 in points when you go to the gate, they turn your bike around backwards. Now that would be cool.
That'd be racing.
Yeah.
I miss those days. I miss days of seeing, going through the pits and seeing those factory bikes and, man, look at that, and then going home and looking at my bike or going home and looking at...
Look like a turd.
It's like, golly, what is that, man? How do I get that? Well, if you want to stamp those out, it's going to cost you about $3,000 and, that ain't going to be happening.
Well, I used to be guilty of that, too. I'd want to have my bike as perfect as I could. I wanted every competitive edge I could because I was competitive. I wanted to win races. I wanted to excel. I wanted to advance through the categories. I wanted to be a pro. I wanted to be a world champion, blah, 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 blah. I focused so much on my bike, and now when I look back on it, sometimes if you'd have just put that aside and focused on your riding and your mental game, you'd be better off.
We didn't know that then. We'd be here
but
now.
But I see people now... Some my age at a racing vet and some younger kids, they want to bling their bikes out so bad I'm like, you're wasting your time and your money.
Marketing. Hey, you talk about marketing. They're marketing parts to these kids so they can buy these parts.
Hubs and their rims powder coated and all this.
Yeah, and
it looks cool, you know?
It does look cool. I like that. What's the factory guys would do that?
Go put another 20 miles on your bicycle in a week.
Well, you know how some
of these... Go find a trainer to go train with and go take...
But they're not all that serious.
Have somebody videotape you in the weak sections and master them.
They're not all that serious, though. Yeah, some of them are just out there to look good. You know, they got jobs doing
And then the other side of me says, well, God bless you. If you want to do that, you're having fun, just go.
Right, yeah.
Because that's all it's about.
I know, because I was always kind of like that, too. I wanted to have, you know, nice looking stuff, you know, but I had to get a job at a shop to get my Scott boots and everything. And
get your discount.
Yeah, get my discount.
Slave labor.
I never got a check because my check went to paying off my shop tab.
Same here. And then I'd borrow money to go racing. Here we are.
Oh, man, that's beautiful. Here we are at Third Moto. And if you want to get a hold of us, let us know if we stink or not. You can get a hold of us at thirdmoto@yahoo.com, and that's the word, thirdmoto@yahoo.com. Or you can find us on iTunes, you can find us on Yahoo, you can find us on Google.
And the website address is thirdmoto.com, which is the number 3, rdmoto.com.
rd.com.
Or thirdmoto, the word, thirdmoto@yahoo.com.
I'm psyched for Saturday.
Las Vegas, baby.
Vegas, baby. Vegas.
Tay-say bay. You know what that means.
Yeah, we did that last
week. Taking care of business.
We did that last week.
That's right.
We're going over ourselves again.
Oh, that's right. It was sleepless in Seattle for the last race. And the sleepless part was, oh, God.
Nobody slept.
No.
It's muddy.
Oh, God. It's raining. Yeah. Oh, no. Anything could happen. All you got to do is cross rut and you're done. Oh,
did you see some of the rut?
And I seen the highlight of Carmichael going off the track, and he was on, I don't know what it was. It was like wood.
Plywood's underneath there, yeah.
But no, it was like wet boogers. It was so slippery. His bike was moving sideways, and he was straight up and down.
How did he say that?
He just got a big, strong tree trunk leg.
Man, I'm watching that, I'm like, man, he saved that?
Yeah, the rest of us would just be wiping our diaper.
Oh, we'd be out for a couple months. Oh.
We'd be a bounty wipe sliding
and off. And they'd be happy. Wow, you almost saved that. Yeah. Wow, that was cool, man. You almost saved that. How you feel?
I wiped out?
Yeah.
And my grips are slippery and my bike won't start.
Cold. These guys, it was so cold. I'm amazed that, you know, Stuart said his hands were so cold he had to put them on a spike. Remember, you used to put your hands on your pipe to warm them up before your moto? And they either burn or they still be cold.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I don't know how those guys did it. I mean, those guys, they really stepped it up in Seattle with cold, mud. I mean, you'd expect like the same result that they had last year.
Well, they couldn't leave nothing on the table. They knew there was one race. They know in their head what they had to do, and they did it.
Had to be careful.
All three of them did it, too. Regardless of where they were or what happened, they did it.
I was exhausted after watching them ride. I'm like, man, I'm tired just watching.
Well, and the thing is Las Vegas is an outside event too, but it doesn't rain in Vegas very much.
Yeah, they said there's some new things going on in Vegas too. They were talking about having a fastest lap guy get, you know, a couple $100 or whatever and things like that. But, you know, I think they got enough to ride for. And Stewart's going to win the world.
If they do the fastest lap, $100 for the guys out of the top three, it
right,
would be worth something.
I'm not sure on that. But
why pay them guys anymore?
Right,
pay the guys from fourth on down.
Right. I'm not sure on that, but I heard him talking about it. If anybody else did, I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. So I hope this track is going to suit a little bit for each rider. Nick Way. I was going to bring up Nick Way, but, you know, I'm saving him. I did mention him earlier, you know.
Well, and give everybody a clue where the points are right now that aren't in the know for this last race.
Between Nick Way and Ivan Tedesco, I think Tedesco is at 268. I'm sorry. Ivan is at 276 and Nick Way is at 268. So
in the top three now, we've got Carmichael.
316.
And Reed tied.
Stewart's at 316. And I'm sorry. Stewart is at 311. Chad and RC at 316.
So 5 points. And
covers them.
There's 3 points between first and second place.
Stewart needs to win. Those guys need to finish fourth or worst.
Third would be a tie. Right.
And the tie goes to Stewart because he has the
most wins. So if Stewart were to win, he gets 25 points. Third place is 20 22. Points, then it would be a tie. All right, but either one of those guys gets a second place and they get it. Depending on where. There's so
points,
many scenarios. 22. Right, for second place.
Yeah.
Right. There's so many scenarios, though. I think they should make all three of them have their bikes turned around backwards on the gate.
You always want
that
to turn
would make
around.
Good show.
Have to that come through the pack.
Yeah. Earn it.
I wonder what I wonder if they're gonna be sandbagging in practice.
About team tactics? Well, Heath Moss, he ain't gonna get in anybody's way unless he's getting lapped.
You think there's
Michael Byrne and Tedesco are really the only ones that Kawasaki, can they stuff anybody else in that class?
I was just gonna say, can they do that?
But who?
Who?
Nobody.
Who? Well, yeah. I was gonna say Langston.
Brad Lackey.
Brad Lackey, yeah, that'd be great.
Langston, no, he has to ride the stupid race.
Yeah,
he has to ride the race that don't count for pride. The East-West Shootout.
Yeah, I know.
That's what that is.
I was just thinking, you know.
And you know what? I believe that is his last lights race.
That's his last lights race.
Because then he's hoping that Mitch Payton, the owner of Pro Circuit, finds a sponsor for the 250 class outdoors. So
you're talking my stuff again, getting it outdoor. I'm
all right. You're the outdoor guy.
I'm looking forward to this outdoor.
I'm
looking forward to this outdoor. Yeah, you're gonna get your shoes muddy and go and watch. Doesn't always rain at the outdoors, man. Doesn't always rain.
Yeah, but it could. So forget it. I'm not going.
You just want to stay in a
climate control place. Yes.
Yeah, so you'll be following Chad Reed around.
Oh, yeah.
Just going
no
to
doubt.
The supercross races.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You know what? What happens is you got your co-chair, right? Your bus. So if it rains, you don't go outside. No.
Yeah, but you got your number on your
bus. Autographs are till tomorrow when it gets nice out. I'm not going outside.
Okay. All right.
I don't want to be damp.
See, this guy, he doesn't like the outdoor. He just likes the indoor. He just likes to make the money. I'm an outdoor guy. I'm staying with old school.
Those tracks get bumpy, don't they?
Yeah, they get bumpy.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
they get bumpy. They have rocks.
Of course they
sometimes they have them ruts.
No, you know, a lot of them now have... What do they call it now? The
rut
wood
free?
Chips. The wood chips all over the.
Oh, yeah, but those get bumpy.
Mammoth Mountain is back, too.
Good.
Good. I just can't wait. Well, you know what? I've enjoyed the show. Like I said, if you guys want to get a hold of us at thirdmoto@yahoo.com. I got to get some pictures up there. Like I said, I'm having problems with the technical end of this whole thing, but I'm working on it. Trust me, I am working on it. It looks like we're not doing anything, but I am working on it.
Going outdoors racing now. So I've already raced one outdoors. I've been to one indoor. I've practiced outdoors twice, and I'll be racing an outdoor night race Friday night. So, yes,
Friday.
I am. I am outdoors, okay?
Yeah, I'm waiting for a sticker so we can get sticker on your back.
Okay,
good advertisement.
Okay.
But,
all right.
You know, but I'm going to expect you to be at the outdoors, too. See, I'm going to expect you definitely to be at the outdoors. You're not going to have that Chad Reed option.
No. I like outdoors, and I enjoy riding it more as a vet guy because I like the faster, big tracks and those kind of jumps more than I do the tight riding.
You feel more like a man after you've done riding an outdoor track. Come on, I know you do. I know I did.
Feel more like a man when I clear all the obstacles.
when you get a full lap in.
When I land on the backside and not case them, then I'm happy.
You didn't see any of the Marty Smith
I've seen that episode before. It was replayed.
I tell you. Marty Smith, and I didn't know it, you know, back in the day, but I'm reading those motocross action too. I was like, man, I want to be like Marty Smith. I think I had the same jersey Marty Smith. Who didn't want to be like Marty Smith back then? Bob Hanna.
I thought Marty Smith was cool, and then Bob Hanna came along.
Marty Smith was Jeremy McGrath before Jeremy McGrath ever thought about being Jeremy McGrath.
He was a Southern California kid.
You know,
a talent rider. But, no, I'm on my third different bike already this year, so I learn them when I race them. It's cool.
You learn them when you race them?
I don't break them up. I break them in. I don't even set the sag. I broke it in tonight. I rode it up and down the road in the dark.
Oh, you got it at the house?
Yeah.
Why didn't you tell me that earlier?
I just got it home a couple hours ago and threw gas in and checked the nuts
and bolts.
Clickers, put some oil on the filter, put some gas in, checked tire pressures, fired it up, let the radiator get hot, ripped it up and down the road, set the idle. It's good to go.
Nobody called the cops on you?
No, they're cool.
Okay.
They're cool.
Okay,
and I don't do that every night, all night, for a long time.
Yeah, well, you know.
But, you know, speaking of that, we were talking about that before, and the noise thing starting to get there. Well, let's get back to Supercross, thirdmoto.com, Las Vegas, and we go to the outdoors at Glen Helen. Everybody watching Speed Saturday night. It'll be live. 3 hours.
Three hours of nothing but motocross action.
That's right. I'm looking forward to it, and let's hope it goes down to the last lap.
Last turn.
Yep.
That's it.
Thanks a lot, Third Moto.
Following is a Third Moto production in association with $1 Million Music and Dark Urban Symphony Entertainment.